tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for this good old 1611 Bible God's given us. I want to thank Him for it and for the very truth that it is. It's not, the Bible doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And I make no apologies for that. I believe it. I'm a Bible believer, and I believe it is the Word of God. I don't believe there's any mistakes in it either. I believe it's all perfectly preserved for you and I today. And I don't believe there's one mistake, not one error in the Word of God. I had a preacher in Arizona years ago out in like kind of like a courtyard they had there between some of the buildings of the churches. It was the First Baptist Church of Green Valley, Arizona. And that fellow held the Bible up and looked around at his people and said, what was supposed to have been my people, and said, I asked him, do you think that book has got mistakes in it? And he held it up and looked around at people and he said, it's full of mistakes. And I thought, well, you're probably not the first liar that ever came into the world and won't be the last on top of that. But there's no mistakes in it, okay? And I don't believe so anyway. All right, the Gospel according to Luke tonight. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 11. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 11 in the Word of God tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. As we look into the Word of God for this evening, okay? I trust you'll bear with me. I wrestled somewhat with what to try to preach tonight. I looked at this and I thought, well, I'm going to preach it. I looked for something on the same order as this out of Psalm 39, and it just wasn't there, and it just didn't come together. If you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. It just didn't come together, so I just picked up here, and out of what I've got, I wrote down six little words, and that's what I'm preaching on tonight, okay? Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11 and verse number 29, the Bible said, and when the people were gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. Why are they evil? They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and shall condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater, and Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Bless your word to our heart now. Grant us the liberty we need tonight to be a help and a blessing to your people. I pray you'll stir our hearts, Lord, for our good and your glory. Help every family that's here, every person, individual. Especially, Lord, those that are sick, those that are diseased in their bodies, I pray especially for them that you touch them, Lord. Give them the healing grace that they need. Help sinners, Lord, that are lost, and deliver them, I pray, from the burden and bondage of sin that they're in. Give them the help that they need to overcome, become the children of God. Help us to walk in light as you're in the light. Bless every family now that's here, and help the preacher tonight as I stand to preach your word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the thought, kind of a strange little title, but I want to preach tonight on two things and six, on two. I want to preach tonight on two things. But it's kind of a little tricky title. Two signs and six signs or something of that nature. Anyway, I want to preach on the six signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And two times and six signs. That's what it is. Two times and six signs. It's what I want to try to preach on for just a little while by the grace of the Lord tonight. Now, the scripture that I just read is in reference to the first time that our Lord appeared upon the earth, in His first advent upon the earth. And, of course, the people in those days, they were people like many today. They're looking for a sign. And they're speaking to Him. They've been speaking to Him about, show us a sign that you're who you are and that you're going to do what you say that you're going to do. For many of them believed that He was Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the other prophets. And there was much to-do about who Jesus really was. You know, according to the Apostle Paul, the Jews in part have been blinded to the first advent of our Lord. And they're still looking for Him. They don't believe in that advent. They believe that when He comes back to set up His throne is the only time the Lord's ever coming to this earth. But you and I know as Bible believers that He's already been here once. And He's ascended back to the Father after completing the work of redemption and purging our sins. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He is coming back again. And so these people, a thick crowd of people, begin to gather together. And the Lord, no doubt, knowing their hearts, and He begins to deal with them about what they're considering. And they're looking for a sign. And He called them an evil generation simply because they sought a sign that He was who He claimed to be, and He was going to accomplish what He claimed He was going to accomplish. And so He knows what's in their heart, and there is a great crowd gathered together, and He began to say, this is an evil generation, and they seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given except the sign of Jonas the prophet. And then He says, as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. And then in verse 32, He finishes that out about the Ninevites when He talks about how the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And He talks about Jonas spending 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And that was a sign that was given them. Now, you and I know that Jonas spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale. Now, I've often wondered how that he could possibly be a sign to the Ninevites. How could they recognize him spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale? And there's only one answer to that, if you get right down to it. It had to be because of those mariners that he was riding with. He had fled from the presence of the Lord and had boarded this ship. And those mariners that he was riding with had to be men of Nineveh. They had to be traveling to Nineveh. And when they got there, no doubt they told the story about how Jonas was swallowed up in the belly of a whale. They saw him walking on in the land there, and these mariners must have been perplexed when they saw him. And they commenced to tell the people how that Jonah had been thrown overboard had been swallowed by the whale. And yet here he is, spit up on dry ground, and is here in the land of Nineveh. Well, he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale. Now, somebody said, preacher, what is the significance about that? Well, our Lord spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Jonas is a type of the Lord Jesus. He's a type of the Lord Jesus in His resurrection. And so what the Lord is telling them said that Jonas is a type of the resurrection of Christ. He said, I'm going to be resurrected. Amen. That is going to be the sign, the only sign that I'm going to give you, is the fact that I'm going to get up out of the grave. And that ought to be enough. What he's simply saying is that man ought to be able to believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved if they believe that He got up out of the grave. I don't know about you, but I have no problem in believing that Jesus got up out of the grave ascended back to the right hand of God the Father and is coming back again full of grace and glory to carry those that have been redeemed back into the presence of Almighty God. And so the resurrection is a sign to this generation. And, you know, there's no other signs going to be given. People today are looking for signs of His coming. They're looking for signs of when Jesus is coming. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to say that the same sign that Jonas was is also a sign for you and I today. The fact that Christ got up out of the grave. He said, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. God has given me the power to lay down my life. He's given me the power to take it up again. And if you're looking for a sign of who I am and what I'm going to do, if you just wait long enough, you're going to see an empty tomb. I'm not going to be there. I'm up out of the grave. I'm ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And that will be a sign unto you, that empty tomb. Now, the Jews didn't believe it then. Many of them don't believe it now. But I will tell you that doesn't change the fact at all that Christ came into this world and died upon a cross, was buried, and 3 days later, He got up out of the grave. Somebody said, Preacher, why are you harping so much on the resurrection? That's easy. The Bible said, because He lives, we're going to live also. I'm not serving a dead God today. I'm serving a living Savior, a resurrected Savior. He got up out of the grave and is alive. Not only is He alive, but He is alive forevermore. That ought to be enough sign for anybody if they just simply believe the Bible. He is the only man that professes or claims that ever died and got up out of the grave. I know no other that ever did that, but our Lord Jesus did do that, and that ought to be a sign. He said, this is going to be a sign to you bunch of Jews. There's coming a day when I'm going to die, but I'm going to get up out of the grave 3 days later, just like Jonah come up out of the belly of that whale 3 days later. So I'm going to get up out of the heart of the earth 3 days later as well. And I'm telling you, that's a sign for you and I today. Amen. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He's said what He had done, what He said He was going to do when He got up out of that grave. And then said, for Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall he also the Son of Man be to this generation. Now notice secondly, the Queen of the South, and I'm talking about this first advent, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. There's another sign. There's another sign. That sign is the report that the Queen of Sheba believed. Let me just read a little bit to you about that report. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 1, and when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train and with camels and bare spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the setting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and their ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report. It was a true report. I have no earthly idea who it was that made that report to the Queen of Sheba concerning King Solomon. But they reported to her that there was a king that was sitting on the throne of David that had more riches than any king had ever had. That he had more wisdom than any man on earth had ever possessed. And she had to go prove him and find out if that report was true. I want to say that report was true, friend. In fact, she said, it is so true. Let me say this much. What I heard down there in my country, she said, the half has never yet been told of your wisdom and your might and your glory that you possess. Well, I want to say to you on that same authority from the Word of God tonight, who hath believed our report is what Isaiah said. Who has believed our report? Now the report that these Jews ought to be believing of the Queen of Sheba is a report that is given concerning the Lord. That report was given, one, by the patriarchs of old. They all talked about Jesus coming. They all talked about His death. They all talked about His resurrection. I mean, all of the sacrifices that were made pointed to the coming and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. The patriarch talked about it. Then the prophets talked about it. John the Baptist preached about it. They all preached about it. And I'm going to tell you, it is a true report. She said it's a true report. The half has never yet been told. I want to say something to you tonight. The same goes for you and I. The half has never yet been told about our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? I want to go on record, praise God, saying I believe the report concerning the Son of God. Amen. I believe it, that He is the darling Son of God, full of grace and full of truth, full of wisdom and full of power, full of love and full of mercy, that loved you and I with such a great love, that He came into this world and died, was resurrected from the grave, and the patriarchs have preached about it, the prophets have preached about it, the apostles have preached about it, and men today are preaching about it. But may I ask you, who hath believed that report? That's what they're getting at. The Lord said, hey, you don't believe I'm who I say I am. He said, the Queen of Sheba believed in Solomon. And she went a long way to prove that report. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, a much greater than Solomon is here. And boy, there was a greater than Solomon was there. There's never been a greater. Oh, there's never been a greater person in all this world than the Son of the Living God. I marvel at His mercy that He showed the sinners. We all ought to be in hell tonight. But the all-loving God that loved you and I with such a great love died on Calvary's tree that He might redeem us from sin in the grave. Yes, sir. He died and was resurrected, and men have been preaching ever since the patriarch's days of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, there's your sign, the fact that I died. Hey, He had to die to be resurrected. I mean, that's just common sense. When He's talking about the resurrection, I mean, He just had to die. The reason He's not talking about His death here, hey, you have to die in order to be resurrected. Amen. The patriarchs preached it. The prophets preached it. The apostles preached it. The preachers are preaching it. Amen. I'm talking about the resurrection. Let me ask you tonight, do you believe their report?
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Do you believe the report concerning the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
He's much greater than Solomon.
Amen.
By the way, when the Queen of Sheba saw all that went on around Solomon's temple, Solomon's palace, the Bible said there was no more spirit left in her. That woman got real weak in the knees from what she saw. She couldn't believe her own eyes. I mean, when she saw everything going on, it was so much that it overwhelmed her in her spirit. May I say to you tonight, on the authority of the Bible, there's coming a day when you and I are going to see some things that is going to overwhelm us in our spirit. We're going to grow very weak in our spirit. When all the glory of Christ begins to shine upon you and me, and we finally come home to where He is and see Him in all of His glory. By the way, she saw Solomon in all of his glory. We've not yet seen Jesus in His glory. But friend, I'm going to tell you, I believe the report about it. I believe the report about it. Oh, He is the all-majestic One. He is the all-glorious One. He is the all-powerful One. Amen. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that report about Him tonight. Now, those Jews, they were looking for a sign. They said, we want to see a sign. Jesus said, no sign going to be given except the sign of Jonas the prophet. And then He talked about that resurrection. Then He talked about that report. And then He comes to another point. He talks about, He said, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And you know the story of Jonah, how that God called him to go to Nineveh and preach. And he refused to go. He caught a ship going to Tarshish, going down to Tarshish that was going to Nineveh. And he got on that ship, running from the Lord, fleeing from the Lord. and didn't want to go. But I'm going to tell you, when the Lord got done with him in the belly of that whale, he was ready to go. And here's the other sign. Here's the other. When Jonah hit the shores of Nineveh, being puked up out of the belly of that whale, he hit the shores of preaching.
That's right.
And when he hit the shores of preaching, he went from one side of that country to the other side of that city, rather, preaching the word of God. And the Bible said the men of Nineveh repented over the preaching of Jonah. But he said, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now, I won't say this. Hey, the men of Nineveh, they believed in repentance because they repented. But brother, we're living in a generation today that, hey, that generation didn't believe in repentance. That was one of the times he said, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. What's your problem, he said? I want to ask, that's the problem today. We live in a stiff-necked, a rebellious, and an evil generation that is looking for a sign. Now, I'm going to tell you, one of the signs has already been given. It is a sign of repentance, and I still preach it today, whether men like it or not. I'm telling you, it's either turn or burn. It's either turn from your sins or fry in hell, one of the two. I still believe in repentance, turning from sin unto a living God who is able to save by His marvelous grace. You're not going to be saved in your sin. You're going to be saved from your sin. You better believe that's right. God doesn't save anybody and let them wallow around and live in sin. People got that idea, but they can get saved and just go on sinning, never change in their life. Whoremongers can go on whoremongers. Drunkards can go on drinking. Crowders can keep crowding. Gamblers keep on gambling. Murderers keep on murdering. Dopers keep on doping. I read an article the other day. No, I didn't either. Take that back. Somebody was telling me about a man that wrote a couple of the songs that we sang here in our choir. You know the name of them, Brother Doug?
I'm not sure about the song, but
one of them is Thank You for Giving to the Lord. You've heard that? They sang it one year when we was in Mexico, they sang that song. Thank You for Giving to the Lord. And the other one has got to do something about the Lamb. And we sang both of those songs here in our choir. It came out not long ago. Well, it's been a while ago now. This man came out and said, it's time for me to come out of the closet. I want people to know that I'm gay and I'm saved. God made me this way. Oh yeah, some of you is looking kind of amazed, don't you? You didn't know you were singing songs that were written by a queer, did you? But I'm telling you, we are. We have been. We've sang them before. Now, somebody said, well, what's the problem with that? Hey, that man's never repented. I'm telling you, if your repentance will bring you out of sodomy, ladies and gentlemen, ain't no sodomite going to be in heaven. Oh no, it's repent or burn.
Amen.
Do you think that God would let a sodomite in the gates of heaven if He won't let a drunkard or an adulterer or a whoremonger in, but He's going to let some sodomite in?
Amen.
Somebody told me the other day, and I couldn't believe it. It might have been one of my own children. He's talking about this Miss Universe pageant. Donald Trump. That runs that Miss Universe pageant. And they said that there was a whatever you want to call it on there. It was, I don't know what you call it. But it was a man that had become a transvestite, transgenderite, whatever you want to call him. That man is now a woman. My kid said and said, Daddy, or to see her, I'm telling you, I can't call her a woman. Whatever it is, they said, she is beautiful. She is beautiful. I'm going to tell you, she might have been made beautiful, and he might have been made a woman, but I can tell you one thing, unless whatever you want to call that thing, and I know I'm on the radio, whatever you want to call that thing, unless it repents, it's going to die, go to hell, whatever it is, the beauty of her, whatever, amen, is not going to keep her out of the gates of hell. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but the gates of hell will prevail against sodomites, amen. I'm telling you, that's one that'll die in hell and fry in hell, because I don't know if there's any changes to her. You know what she said? She said she wanted to have three children. Brother, I'm telling you, you think we're not in the mess. I'm talking about repentance. This crowd, if they didn't repent, what Jesus is telling them is, if you didn't repent at John's preaching, you sure ain't going to repent at mine. And that's the only sign I'm giving you is a sign of repentance. They wanted a sign. But the sign they was looking for is not the kind of sign he gave them. Because he said no sign shall be given. But he turned right around and gave them three. The sign of the resurrection, the report of the Queen of Sheba, and then the repentance of the Ninevites. All three of them, signs of his first advent of who he was. Oh, they couldn't believe it. And I'm going to tell you, hey, there's two times and six signs. That's his first advent. But you know something? He's coming back the second time. And there's signs for that second advent as well. And by the way, there is six of them. I mean, there's three more. Somebody said, but there's only two. Now, the Bible said in the book of Luke also, and in chapter number 17, and in verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. He said, that's the way it's going to be. They're looking for a sign of His second coming. He said, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. Now I'm going to tell you, One of the signs of Noah's day that is so vivid in my mind all the time is the violence. The Bible mentions that very word, the violence that was in his day. Friend, have you ever seen so much violence as there is in the world today? Man, I'm telling you, you know what brings about violence? Hatred. People hating one another. And they people that hate, I'm talking about, they just hate mongers in the world today. They don't love nobody. They just kill because they enjoy killing somebody. Amen. Violence. Right. As it was in the days of Noah. Amen. So shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. They were married, given in marriage. They were doing everything that we're doing right now. And they knew it not till the flood came and took them all away. Now I'm telling you, there's a crowd out there in the world. Oh, I've heard preachers talk about what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. Brother Joel, I heard one famous preacher say, there'll be automobiles running into each other and people in the hospitals will be going crazy and this and that and one thing and another. I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe there'll be enough going and it'll hardly be missed.
Right. Amen, preacher.
Because they knew it not.
Right.
They knew it not until the flood came and took them all away. And it ain't talking about taking Noah away, friend. He's talking about taking that bunch of sinners in his day away.
Amen.
If I understand that right, and I may be wrong, you can correct me if you want to, but I believe what the Lord talked about in Noah's day, till the flood came and took them all away, I believe He's talking about until the judgment finally fell on that crowd.
Amen.
They knew not until judgment came. Now I'm telling you, judgment is coming on this world that we're living in tonight, church. God help, I'm so glad I'm born again. I could just about jump right, run my head through that ceiling. Amen. I could just about walk on my hands, and I'll tell you, I ain't done that in a long time. But I'm glad I'm saved. Boy, we're living in some trying, dangerous times. I mean, perilous times are upon us. We're living in the last days. They're here. They're here. Noah's times are, people are married and giving in marriage. What few of them don't shack up? Most of them shack up. Oh, what marriage is all about. Not more. Hey, did you know that the divorce rate's almost as high as what the marriage rate is now? 52% to 48%, something like that. Oh, I'm telling you, we're living in a sinful generation. And they're not going to know. You know why they won't know? Because number one, they don't believe in the resurrection. And they don't believe in the report of the man of God. And they do not believe in that third little thing called repentance.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, they know not.
That's right.
They don't believe that scripture I'm just reading to you about Noah, as it was in the days of Noah.
Right.
So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
And then there's another little note there as well. He said, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, can I say something to you right there? There is one verse of Scripture is proves why I'm a premillennialist. When Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't, not one fire or no brimstone at all fell until Lot was taken out of that city. Till the righteous was removed from the ungodly. Then God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven. I'm telling you, brother, there is no 7 years of tribulation coming until you and I are taken out of this old world. Thanks be unto God. Amen. That's right. That is right. Now, I'm going to tell you, in the days of Lot, we're living in those days. I've never seen so much conniving and messing going on. And I know I'm not hitting on much tonight, but I'm hitting on maybe more than what you think. I've never seen so much of a mess going on as what we're seeing in our society. Now, I hate to even go back to that crowd again, but you know as well as I do that in Lot's day, friend, I'm telling you, was one of the most wicked days upon that this earth has ever seen. I mean, men working with men, that which is unseemly. Women with women is what they say in Romans chapter 1. And finally, God gave them up. God gave them up. And finally, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how will a man or a woman know if they got a reprobate mind? Well, that's easy. They won't want a thing to do with God. I've had people to tell me, you know, preacher, I enjoy coming to church, but I don't know if I'm saved or not. I think sometimes God turned me over to reprobate mind. No, if not, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
If that mind is reprobate, it ain't going to believe on God.
That's right.
Examine yourself. Will you be in the faith? No, you're not. That if you're not in the faith, you're reprobate. That's what Paul said.
Right.
Come on now, boys and girls. Smile, Brother Hall, a little bit.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, we're living in that hour. Amen. What a crowd. What a generation of unbelievers that we live in. Just like there was in the days that the Lord was here. He said, give us a sign. He said, okay. He said, I'm not going to give you a sign. But he said, I'll tell you what. He said, just like Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites.
Right.
He said, be the same in this generation.
Right.
He spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, and I'm going to spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's all you're getting.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He said, the Queen of Sheba went to visit Solomon, who was a wise and wealthy man. And hey, she said, the half has never yet been told. She said, I believe their report. It was a true report.
Amen.
The people today won't believe that report.
Right.
No, sir. And people today will not believe in the fact, they won't believe in repentance either.
Right.
And they're not going to know until the fire and the brimstone falls from heaven upon them. Do you realize that in the tribulation period, if you think hail balls are something now, in the tribulation period, there's going to be hail 125-pound weight in the tribulation period. I believe that's right. Now, I might be corrected on that, but I believe I'm right on that. But I'm telling you, there's coming some perilous times upon our nation. Ought to make us all glad that we're in.
Amen.
There's one other sign on there, and I don't even think I need to cover it, except for the men, Miss Hall. I think probably covered it for the women this morning. When he went on down, there's a third one there. I said, six signs. Here's the sixth one. Remember Lot's wife. That's the sixth one, friend.
Amen.
Don't look back. And I'm telling you, we got a generation that's looking over their shoulder at Egypt all the time.
Right.
Looking at the beauty of the world and its glamour all the time. Wanting just a little more, just another little piece of the world. Wanting their little corner of the world. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want a corner of the world, and I don't want a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Praise God, I'm telling you, I've got a mansion waiting over on the other side. You better believe I have. Thank God. Walls of jasper. Amen. That's right. A street of gold. As Brother Jerome says, ain't no streets there, young man. The Bible says street. It's going to be a long street. A man gave me the figures at Tabernacle one time when we went back for the alumni of how many mansions you could build in a city, four square, that's as big as what Jerusalem, what the New Jerusalem is going to be. And I remember the amount was insurmountable. You wouldn't believe it. The amount of castles, palaces that you could build in that wonderful city. And somebody said, how can that possibly be? In my Father's house are many mansions. Boy, and I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of them there. And we're going, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. If you believe the report, have you repented? You believe in the resurrection? Have you turned? I hope so.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Do you hate sin? I'm just telling you, I don't believe too many people are saved if they don't have a dogmatic hatred for sin. Somebody said, well, now, you know, everybody's got their own little way about it. No, everybody don't have their own little way about it. God's got His way. It's the Bible way. They say the preacher says His way or the highway. No, I'm going to tell you what God says. God says His way or the highway. It's God's way. There is no other way. Because He said, I am the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, I'm telling you, there were signs. Jesus gave them signs at His first advent. And He gave us signs for His second advent. Six signs. Two times, six signs. First advent, second advent. And He's coming. He's well on the way. I believe He's licking His lips right now. Gabriel's getting ready to blow the trumpet. I believe He's standing at the door. I believe He's standing at the door getting ready to push the door open. And He's not waiting. He's not standing there waiting saying, is it time, Father? Can I go now? He knows exactly when He's coming. The very hour and the very minute He knows. And when it's time, He's going to open that door. And John proclaimed, I saw a door open in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was of the voice of many waters. Oh, yeah, He's going to open that door. And the first words going to come out of His mouth is, come up hither. All ye that have made a blood covenant with me. Gather together all of them that have made a blood covenant with me. Let me ask you something. Have you made that blood covenant? Oh, this crowd burns me up. They call us a bloody religion. They don't believe in all this stuff about the shedding of blood. Well, friend, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, I don't understand everything about the sacrifice and why it had to be the way it was, but I'm telling you, God ain't never made a mistake. God had this thing figured out before the foundation of the world. He ain't made any mistakes. About the redemption, it's perfect. There is no other way. There could be no other way. Listen carefully. The Creator had to die for the creature. No other way. Does that not get a hold of your heart? To know that He that stepped out from nowhere when there was nowhere to step out from and created everything that is. We drove up the driveway the other night. One of the kids said, Papa, look at how bright the moon and how bright that star is. I said, yeah. And to think that our God put that thing up there and said, stay there while I tell you to move.
That's right.
And it's been hanging there all them years. That's right. It's been there and it's going to stay there too. That's right. What a God, friend. Amen. And He died. The God that created that somebody else said, you can't hold it. It was one of them little old moons that looked like a guy with a pointed chin. Miss Hall said, you can't hardly see that little old moon for all the clouds over it. Oh, it was so beautiful. Now, I looked at that thing and that big bright star above it. I thought, oh my. And to think that God made that, created that, hung it out there in space, told it to stay there, and it's still there. And the great Creator that created all and everything that is died for the creature. whom He created out of the dust of the earth. You realize we're nothing but dust. Christ died for a pile of dust.
Amen.
And not a very big pile. Well, it could be. I think He maybe scooped it up in His hand or something. I don't know exactly how He done it. But He breathed into the nostrils of Adam a breath of life, and he became a living soul. Our God is a great Creator. He's an almighty Savior. He is our Redeemer. Oh, yes. He is our King and our Lord.
Yes, sir.
And He's coming back for us. I want to ask you something. Do you believe that tonight? If you don't believe that He came the first time, you'll never believe He's coming the second time. And that's what's wrong with people today. Oh, they put up little manger scenes and this and that, but most of them don't believe it a bit more than a billy goat. They put up manger scenes and then go out on Sunday on Christmas night and get drunk and cooter brown. And claim they believe in the Lord. They don't believe in God. He's coming. He is coming. All the evidence points that way. And I don't doubt it one bit. The question is, are you ready?
Amen.
Like that little song I sang at my brother's funeral. Oh, my brother sitting out there, my sister. I said, well, you better be ready. Oh, you better be ready. You better be ready to meet the Lord. Oh, well, I hope you're ready. Yes, I hope you're ready. Yes, I hope you're ready to meet the Lord. Well, I'm so glad that I'm ready. Oh, I'm glad that I got ready. Yeah, I'm glad that I got ready to meet the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.